Hello and welcome to Unrivaled Experts, where we get the best of the best to share their insider secrets so you can get a shortcut to living a better life. I'm Chris Gunkel, and joining us today is Ruth King. And Ruth has a passion for helping businesses get and stay profitable using all the latest and greatest stuff, the newest systems, processes, technology, and you name it. After 12 years, this is what's cool about Ruth. So she was 12 years on the road, 200 flights a year, and she knew, hey, there's got to be a better way to reach businesses who want to build their businesses and then train employees. So she began training on the internet, which is commonplace now, but in 1998, and that was so not common. A lot of you probably weren't even alive in 1998, but that is a huge thing. So very innovative, very cool. I'm excited about this. Ruth has also written 5 books. 2 of them were number one bestsellers. And then there was a list of 37 books that startups should read. 2 of her books appeared on that list alongside other books by such heavyweights as Napoleon Hill, Stephen Covey, and Dale Carnegie. So this is pretty rarefied air up here. Today, Ruth is here to talk to us about how to tell if your financial statements are wrong. And she says that we can do it quickly, too. So, Ruth, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. And yes, you can do this in less than a minute.
Less than a minute. I'm excited to learn about this. Before we dive into that, though, tell us just a little bit about your business and who's like the best person for you? Who do you help the most?
I help the customers who want to grow their businesses profitably. I look at customers who are not what I call lifestyle businesses, and they're more concerned about just cash flow to keep themselves. I have businesses with employees, businesses who want to grow, businesses who want to build wealth, and businesses who want to give back. So that's my customer base.
So you're finding those people who really have their priorities in line. They know what's important to them, and they're really wanting to sit down and drive that profit. Hey, how do we do this thing?
Right. And a lot of them, unfortunately, start with almost no profit, and they just haven't paid attention to their financial statements. So a lot of times we'll start there, because once they get the financial statements, both the P&L and the balance sheet, then everything, you know, you have this aha moment, the light bulb goes on, and it's, okay, now what do we do? Now I understand this. Let's figure out how we can grow this thing so I can sell it, pass it along to the next generation. I can do, you know, what I use my business as a tool for.
Right. So most people get into business. They have a dream. They want to create a certain lifestyle. They want to create a legacy, something that they can hand down to their children, whatever it is, there's some bigger vision there. So we find what inspires us. We start this business, we get going, and all we're worried about is just, you know, getting that sale, getting the first sales, getting off the ground, right? And then staying there. But nobody ever wants to really look at those financial statements. That's why I hire an accountant, right? I don't need to look at that stuff. What are the things that go wrong? What problems arise when we don't understand what those financial statements are telling?
Well, Chris, you're right. None of us, unless we're a bookkeeper or a CPA, get into business to do the financial state side of business going, oh, I just love this. No, that doesn't happen at all. The first time businesses really start looking at financial statements is, quite frankly, for most of them, not all, but most of them, is when they get in trouble, when they realize they're not making money, they're working their butts off and, you know, I have nothing to show for it, or they have a problem paying their bills or paying payroll, or they're a big customer doesn't pay them and they're scrambling for cash. You know, then they kind of sort of wake up. I had a client who is now since retired, who started a business and in 12 years grew it from $0 to $2 million in size. And all they did was look at cash. If they had cash in the bank and they could take their discounts, they were fine. And once they hit $2 million, their growth stopped and they started having problems. You know, all of a sudden they couldn't take their discounts every once in a while, had to scrap for payroll every once in a while, and they didn't understand it. Well, they were smart enough to get help. And long story short, when I went in there, they were losing a nickel for every dollar they took in the door for 12 years.
And oh my goodness.
the growth masked the problem, because the funds they got from, you know, those receivables coming in started their next projects. And as long as you're continuing to grow, that little nickel doesn't pay it, you know, doesn't raise its ugly head or whatever you want to call it. And then what happens is once you stop growing, that little nickel, you know, your cash flow goes down by 5% every single month. And it's like, oops.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing how many problems revenue, right? Those sales, driving those sales, how many problems can be masked by that? So there could be all kinds of things going on in your business that you don't even realize. And then that can come back in an ugly way to haunt you.
Yeah. And growth masks a lot of it. As long as you watch your cash as you're growing, i.e. they paid attention to cash. They didn't care about profit per se, because they never looked at a P&L and balance sheet. That was for the accountant. And as a result, you know, as long as they were growing, they were in, you know, happy land, so to speak. And then once the growth stopped, the problem started. And they will. If you don't price your products. Yeah. If you don't price your products correctly.
So is there an easy way for those of us, you know, for all these business owners out there who they want to focus on their business and they're scared to even find out what's in those financial statements? They don't understand them. They don't know how to look at them. Is there an easy way to kind of ease into this and start looking at those and having them make sense to us?
Well, this is like tooting my own horn, but I wrote The Courage to Be Profitable exactly for that reason. It's written in English. It was a number one of the best-selling books, and it literally can take you less than 2 hours to read that book. Now, implementing it is another story, but you will understand what a P&L is, you'll understand what a balance sheet is, and you'll understand all the nuances of them if you read that book. And I promise you, it's in English. I can't tell you how many people have told me that they looked at the title of that book and went, ugh, and then they read it and they went, okay, I get it. So
it's really daunting. Yeah, it's daunting to think, hey, this is written in financese. I'm not going to understand any of it.
Yeah.
So that's great that you're able to bring that down to the level of the business owner, make it make sense to them.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the book. And that was one of the 37 books that all startups should read too, which was a really cool honor, by the way. It was really kind of cool when that happened.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're up against some really heavy hitters there. Not against, but with some really heavy hitters and being showcased like that. So that's a testament to what you're doing and how you're able to communicate that information and help people out. So kudos to you for that. So here's our shameless plug. Make sure you go check out her books. I'll have links in the show notes. We'll talk about that at the end. But okay. So important though to take a look at that stuff, because again, there could be so many problems lurking just below the surface that are being hidden by that growth, just because you have sales coming in, but some real problems there. So there's a lot of financial advice, a lot of personal finances advice out there. There's a lot of business finance advice out there. What are some of those facepalm things that you see that just make you shake your head and say, oh my gosh, people better not listen to this? What's some of that bad stuff you hear out there?
That you have to worry about percentages. That your percentage of net profit is important. It's actually not. Your gross margin is actually not important. And this is so contrary to what everybody normally thinks. And I will tell you exactly why. I look at everything on a dollar profit basis. So for example, for every revenue producing hour or every billable hour that you have, how much actually drops to the bottom line? And I've worked with 4, 5, $10 million companies, and you calculate their net profit per hour, and it's like $2.42, $3.04. I'm not exaggerating here. And they look at it and go, you know, that's terrible. Well, yeah, it is. You know, I can show you two companies, both who have a 10% net profit, one who's earning about $10 an hour and the other who's earning 50. Which would you rather be?
Well, yeah, tough question. I think the 50. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they both had a 10% net. And so that's why percentages really and truly do not matter. The actual dollars matter. It's kind of like revenues are important, but the bottom line is more important. I'd love to work with companies, you know, who say, okay, I'll keep my revenue growth the same this year, but I want to grow my bottom line by X number of dollars. I mean, sometimes you have to do that and take a break. You know, sometimes growth can make people very, very, very tired. You burn your people out when you're growing too fast too. So it's not only the financial side that can kill you, but people just get so burned out, they go, I'm going to go work for somebody else where, you know, I'm not working 50, 60 hours a week. I'm not under this pressure, et cetera, you know, things like that. And you lose your really good people too. So you have to be careful with growth for two reasons. Obviously, one, that you don't run out of cash, but the second, because you could burn out your people and lose them.
Makes perfect sense. And I want to circle back to the margins, because everybody wants to talk about what their margin is. Can you dive in just a little bit more about why these percentages don't matter and what it means to focus on the actual dollars versus a margin? Help us understand that 10% net example that you gave us.
Okay. I can give you more, but the reality of the situation is, if you look at a profit and loss statement, it's generally divided into two pieces. It's divided into what are called direct costs, or costs that you have because you sold something. This is like labor, materials, equipment, commissions, freight, warranty, the things that happen because you sell something. So that's, you take selling your sale and subtract out your direct costs, and you get what's known as gross profit. And gross margin is always a percentage of gross profit. So if you take gross profit and divide it by sales, you get gross margin. And gross margin is what everybody looks at, as well as net profit margin. And if you take gross profit and subtract out all the overhead that you have, like for rent and utilities, and for people answering the phone and marketing and accounting and office supplies and those types of things, you subtract that from your gross profit and you get net. And people have a tendency to take the net and divide by sales to get the net profit percentage. You take the gross divided by sales and you get your gross profit percentage, which is called gross margin. And people have a tendency to compare that. And the reality of it is, I can put anything I want in direct cost, and I can put anything I want in overhead to make the margins look better or worse. And a lot of times that happens. And I'll give you a really funny example. Unfortunately, it's true. There was an owner I worked with who had a huge warranty problem, and he didn't believe it. And I knew for a matter of fact that every month he'd look at his P&L, he'd flip to the bottom line on his profit and loss statement, see whether he lost money or made money, threw it in a drawer and never looked at it again. But he didn't believe he had a warranty problem. So I told the bookkeeper to put the warranty expense right before net profit. So we had to see it. And we didn't do anything illegal. We didn't do anything, you know, immoral or anything like that. We were just moving things around to put something where he would see it. And that bottom line was exactly the same. And he finally started seeing it. He goes, I really do have a warranty problem. I'm like, yeah, you do. And it went away. So that's my thing about P&Ls. You can put things anywhere you want to, as long as the bottom line is actually there. And so I've got an example of a client that I worked with. Two jobs, each had a 40% gross margin. One earned $73 an hour. The other gave the customer $21 an hour. And literally absolute same gross margins. And it's just, once you get past just looking at those percentages and looking at actual dollars, you really start seeing, number one, where you're doing really, really well, hopefully, and areas where you're not doing really well, and you take care of the areas that you're not doing well, and you keep doing what you're doing in the areas that are going really well.
Knowing what to look at, knowing what to measure, because they say what gets measured gets managed, right?
So that's right.
Mm-hmm. Just focusing on the right things in your business. So this brings us to, you know, looking at these financial statements and how to tell if they're lying, right? How do we know that what we see on that financial statement is right or it's wrong? That was the big promise. Mm-hmm. So what do we have to look at with these things?
All right. There's 10 things that everybody should be looking at. And if we don't have time to go through all of them, they're in the report at the end. It's given to you free. go read the report. It's in a whole lot more detail. Number one, are you on an accrual basis for accounting? Let me explain what that means. There are two ways that you can account. There's one that's called cash basis, and there's one that's called accrual basis. Cash basis accounting means that you record a sale when you literally get the money in the door for the sale. You record an expense when you write the check or you do the ACH withdrawal or whatever to pay that expense. There are no receivables, there are no payables, and there's no inventory. Now, unless you are a totally COD business where you pay, everybody pays you COD and everybody, and you pay every one of your bills and you have no payables at the end of the month, the rest of us have to be on an accrual-based accounting system because we do have receivables, we do have payables, and we have to watch, who we owe money to and who owes us money and make sure that we collect because it's our money. So accrual basis accounting for most business owners is the way to go. And it's really, really important. You know, if many of the listeners may be using QuickBooks, it's a little button you push in QuickBooks that you can choose cash or accrual. Choose accrual. All right. That's number one. Number two is, does your balance sheet balance? I mean, that sounds really basic, but I've seen balance sheets where assets do not balance liabilities and net worth. If this happens and you've had a bookkeeper for 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, whatever years, even a year, that bookkeeper is probably stealing from you because they are playing games with your financial statements. Balance sheets have to balance. They don't. Somebody's taking money somewhere. And 99.9% of the time, all right? There may be some accounting error or something along those lines, but even QuickBooks doesn't let you have a debit without a credit. So that forces the balancing. So they're playing the game, all right? Number three is, do you have negative cash on your balance sheet? Now, you can't have negative cash on a balance sheet because that means that you have bounced checks, there's negative money in a checking account, and that doesn't happen. You have to have at least a penny left in your checking account at the end of every month, or the banker's going to close your account at some point. But if you keep bouncing checks, I can guarantee you your banker's going to close your bank account. You got to have positive cash on your balance sheet. And the next one, if you have inventory, not everybody listening might have inventory. If it's not on your balance sheet, you're fooling yourself. Or if it's the same amount on your balance sheet, you're fooling yourself. So inventory is a bet. You're betting your hard-earned dollars that you're going to be able to buy it and eventually sell it. And I've seen some really good bets, and I've seen some really awful bets in terms of stuff, you know, gathering dust on shelves. But you've paid for it. So just be careful with inventory. The next one is negative payroll taxes. This generally is a bookkeeper who does not understand understand what payroll is all about. And payroll literally is, there's a portion that the employee pays for federal and state taxes and Social Security taxes. And then there's a portion that the employer pays for Social Security taxes and state and local taxes if you have them in the states that you're in, and unemployment taxes. So if it's negative payroll taxes, they've screwed that up, because I promise you the state or the federal government does not owe you tens of thousands of dollars unless somebody's made a really, really big mistake. And the likelihood is you're not going to overpay the feds. I mean, come on, let's be real here.
Right.
Negative loan balances is another thing that I see frequently. So if you've taken out, like, say, a truck loan or, you know, a loan for equipment or inventory or whatever else it is, the only thing you can take off back is the repayment of the principal of that loan. The interest goes on your P&L. So you see negative loan balances generally at the end of the loan period. If the bookkeeper has been taking the whole balance off interest and principal, you're going to say that the bank owes you money at the end of it, which they don't. And that's generally what happens there. And I've actually seen negative gross profits, which is insane, because that says if you buy a part for a dollar, you're going to sell it for 50 cents, for example. And that doesn't happen very often either. So it's just generally a lazy bookkeeper who doesn't put all the revenues in to match the expenses. And so my rule is, I want, if in a month, if we have revenue in a month, I want all of those direct expenses against that revenue in the same month. That's the only way we can tell whether our gross margins are consistent. And I use the word gross margins here because even though I don't really care about them, I do care that they are consistent from month to month. And if they're not, we have to figure out why. Let's see. What else? Oh, no rent, double rent. So if you have a month, let's say in January, and you know you pay rent every month and there's no rent expense and there's a double rent expense in February, January looks better, February looks worse, that type of thing. Then if you look at your net profit on the bottom of your profit and loss statement and it doesn't match what net profit is, current net profit on your balance sheet, again, somebody's playing games with your financial statements. And my favorite one is to print out an aged receivables report and an aged payables report for the end of the month. So like at the end of February, on February 28th, we will print out an aged receivables report and all the receivables that are due as of February 28th and an aged payables that all that we owe as of February 28th. And you match those numbers against what the values say on the balance sheet. So if your accounts receivable on your aging report says 100,000 and on your balance sheet accounts receivable say 97,000, you know somebody's been playing games. Same thing for the accounts payable. If it's supposed to be 100,000 and let's say it's 102 on your balance sheet, something's wrong there too. So those are my favorite 10 ways. And you can look at the P&Ls and the balance sheets and in less than a minute go, all right, what's going on here? And you go back to your bookkeeper and say, okay, I need the explanation for all of this. And a lot of times they don't have one and they'll look you like a deer in the headlights and you go, you don't get bookkeeping. Out. Go find a bookkeeper who understands bookkeeping.
Yeah, and it seems so important. So yes, business owners, you got into business because you wanted to do whatever that business was. And you decided, hey, I'm going to hire people to take care of the books for me. I don't want to deal with the bookkeeping. I don't want to deal with the taxes, all of that stuff. That's fine and dandy, but you own a business, so you need to at least be able to read those reports. And now we have a quick way to at least do a check and see if anything looks out of place, because when you entrust those finances with somebody else, now you're vulnerable, right? You're opening yourself up to somebody else making mistakes, somebody else taking advantage, that sort of thing. So you're giving us really an easy, kind of quick and easy way to do a check that we should do, what, every month? Is that what we're looking at?
Yes, every month you look at this very quickly. When you should get your financial statements, hopefully by the 15th of the following month. And it'll take you, once you get used to this and doing some ratios that are in that book, it'll take you less than 30 minutes a month, less than 20 minutes a month, probably. And Chris, you're right. You know, I don't think that we got into business to do the bookkeeping piece. We got into business to do what we do, but we can't abdicate the financial side of our business. And if we can't spend 30 minutes a month reviewing what the bookkeeper did, I mean, I don't necessarily, and I'm sure everybody listening doesn't want to do, you know, debits matching credits, making sure that all the bills are paid and all that sort of fun stuff. That's not what you are making money for, but you need somebody that you can quote unquote trust to be able to do that. And then you review their work once a month, which should take you less than a half hour a month to do. And all of us waste a half an hour a month at least, easily.
Yeah, there's no time excuse there. Come on. Yeah. We can all make it happen. Well, this is fantastic information. We talked before, you've written 5 books. You're training stuff all the time. You have all kinds of information out there. This is just a little tip of the iceberg. It's a very important part of it, but just a little bit. Where do we learn more about you, what you're doing, and how do we learn more from you?
The best place to go is ruthking.info. Made it really easy. It's just ruthking.info. And if you go there, the report that is, you know, how to find out if your financial statements are wrong in less than 60 seconds, the 10 things I went through is there. All of my books are there. All the videos and the training classes that are online are there also. And there's also a picture of me standing on the runway in Atlanta for the 5K that they do on the runway every single October because I'm a runner. And it was just fun. I just sat in the middle of the runway, which I never get a chance to do. But that picture's on there too.
Fantastic. So congrats on the running. So that's something that's a lot of work right there. But thank you for all of the information that you've given us. Make sure you check her out, ruthking.info. She has books you can buy. She has a free report that is invaluable. Such great information in there. So you can make sure you check up on your financial reports. Ruth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I appreciate it, and I hope I helped your audience.
Thanks for being here and checking out our latest amazing guest. Be sure to head over to unrivaledexperts.com to learn from more incredible experts so you can get a shortcut to living your best life.